This is probably the most iconic chapter of Scripture. You don't have to be a Christian or even a Jew or anyone related to the Abrahamic traditions, and you probably know the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everybody seems to know that story. And guess what? We're going to try to make it fresh and new today. So let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for creation. We thank you for all of the things that you have done. We thank you most of all for Jesus, the Word, through whom we have life. We ask right now that as we look to your Word, that you show us those things that you want us to do and teach us those things that you want us to know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Most of you probably know that Robin and I recently bought a home in the country. And since Robin is from New Jersey and I grew up in Colleyville when Colleyville was still country and not a suburb, we have effectively named our Wi-Fi Green Acres. We bought a house as a fixer-upper, and there's a lot of things to do, some of which we had to get done before we could even move in, a new roof and a new kitchen and a new bathroom, so that we could do those necessities of life, like, you know, seek shelter from the rain and eat and those other things. But now there's a lot more work to be done. There are doors to be fixed, and there's windows that have to be sealed, and there's a yard that hasn't been kept in probably a decade. And there was a beautiful spot under a beautiful tree that I thought would be a wonderful place to sit, but there was no grass. And as you guys know, the wind and rain for the last few months has been quite a bit, and I discovered that it would just be a mud pit. That's all it was a mud pit. And I didn't think it would ever be anything more than a mud pit. And then we got the bright idea that rocks might help. And so I had delivered at the house about 3 yards. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a little more than a pickup load of gravel. And it was dropped off about 100 feet from where it needed to go. So Friday was my day off this week, and so for half the day Friday, I had a shovel, a wheelbarrow, and a rake, and I moved all of those rocks and spread them out with pavestone and made this really nice rock garden, for lack of a better word, underneath this beautiful tree, and I trimmed the tree up. And I finished, and I was exhausted, and I sat down to rest and drink my water, and I looked up, and I could just imagine the things that can happen there, especially on a week when I have my second grandchild born within a month. For those of you who don't know, I just wove that right in there. Emily Grace was born Wednesday night at 9:15, and she's healthy and happy. She's not always happy, but everybody's healthy and things are great. But anyway, I imagined what things that grandfathers imagine, the things we can do and sit and talk about underneath a tree. And as I rested, my imagination just kept going. All of the potentials, all of the things that could happen just flowed out. And I recognized that what I had created there was, yes, indeed, a barrier to mud, so I could get from one part of my yard to another. But I had also created infinite possibilities. Things that could happen that were beyond my imagination. And the more I sat back and looked at it, the more ideas came to mind, the more creative my mind became. And it drew me back to this passage. We all talk about the importance of creation, that God created the world out of nothing, that the Word was with God when God created the world, that there are all kinds of enormous theological statements that are being made right there. But at the beginning of that second chapter, it says God rested. God created the world, and on the seventh day, God rested from creation. Why would you rest if you weren't intending to do something else? God didn't retire from creation. God didn't quit creating. God rested. God didn't retire. And that's the beauty of that creation story, because it runs throughout the rest of the Scripture. We're going to go through the arc, the story of the Bible in the next few months, from beginning to end. And I want you to see that this is just the beginning. This is just the foundation of how God creates continually. Let me read you from Psalm 11. Let all that I am praise the Lord. God, you are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay the rafters of your home in the clouds. You place the world on its foundations. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for the people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth. Then people go off to work, where they labor until evening. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. They all depend on you to give them food when they need it. And when you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are satisfied. But if you turn away, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you give them their breath, life is created. And you, God, renew the face of the earth. The psalmist was reminding us that God didn't retire when God made the heavens and the earth. That the act of creation is continuing on and on and on and on each and every day, to the point where each new blade of grass created for the cow to eat, each drop of water that we can drink, comes from the creative, continuing work of God. Paul tapped into this theology in Ephesians, one of my favorite verses. You hear me say that all the time, because they all are, but one of my favorite verses is this: we are God's masterpiece. I love this. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you want it. We are God's masterpiece. Paul goes on to say, we are God's masterpiece. God created us anew through Christ so that we may do good things. Remember the words I told you to listen for. God created us anew in Christ so that we could do good things that God has planned for us. The act of creation is not just in the first chapter of Genesis and not just those long many years ago. God's act of creation goes on every day and every moment, and it has limitless possibilities. And it is never too late for us. Because remember the other verse. Paul loves creation in his theology. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things pass away, and everything can become new. Paul reminds us that that creation story continues. So just like God, from time to time, we have to rest. But just like God, we're not retired. I don't care if you think you are. You're not retired. We have rested, and we do rest, but we don't retire. Because creation goes on new. God didn't retire. Through you, God wants to continue doing good things. Whether it's disaster relief, whether it's giving toys and games to the people and the kids at the Central Junior High. God wants to do good things through us. Whether it's being an ally for those that are oppressed, or whether it is looking out for each other when you're sick. These are the acts of God's creative love going on and on and on. It is never too late to begin. And it doesn't matter how mundane the task. I spent 4 hours with a shovel and a rake and a wheelbarrow. I moved rocks. I'm pretty sure there's not anything more basic that a human being can do than moving rocks. We've been doing it since before we could talk. But in that moment was released creative energy, because that act brought another act and another act and another act. And that's what God wants to continue to do through each one of your lives and through this congregation. Is create anew every day. God rested, but God is not retired. Praise be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.